All right, y'all. Day one, I'm going to keep it real with you. Day one, I planned on having my very first episode on the podcast that God inspired me to launch related to some really tough times that I have been through the past couple of years. I went so far as to get an outline. I scripted all the episodes, had, you know, everything lined up. I recorded it like literally a million times, had other people kind of listen in, give me feedback, made adjustments. Like, I was trying to be out here as if I was like auditioning for something for real. Like, I had, you know, all my P's and Q's and, you know, I's dotted, T's crossed, the whole nine. But last night I had a dream, and I feel like what God is trying to get me to share with you today is related to it. So let me go ahead and share what was going on last night. So I had asked God, I'm recording, I'm getting frustrated, I feel burdened about this. Like, since last year, as many of you know, I tried to launch a podcast under the name Sister Girl Circle. And although that was well-intentioned, and I feel like God did ask me to do a creative forum such as a podcast to profess his name, what I didn't realize was that the episode I was trying to launch even then was a series that I hadn't even walked out fully in purity and authenticity myself. I was going to speak to the war within, the fight to freedom, dealing with just like your internal demons and having to work out your salvation, especially in the context of being a military wife. And so I had guest panels like the whole nine. And so God stopped me from issuing that by allowing sickness to overtake me to the point where I had to get not hospitalized like I was out here, you know, about to die. But I did have to go through several doctors. I did go through the hospital. I was like so uncomfortable, and it went on for like months, you know. And so it really peaked my health problems in May when I was trying to launch it. So I was like, okay, this is the devil trying to stop me from sharing. It makes total sense. I fasted, I prayed, and I tried to push on despite, and I just kept coming across different types of frustration. Like, all right, now I'm just getting, you know, writer's block. Like, I have so much that I have scripted already, but it's just organizing it, delivering it, editing it. Like, I was just getting really overwhelmed with the process, doing it alone, that is. And so I found myself not spending time with my kids as much, kind of just being really angry and just taking that frustration out on my husband. And even at work, like just feeling like I wasn't present all the way mentally. And so I found that it was just like overtaking me in the negative direction, and I didn't think that was something that God wanted. And so I think the health thing was literally God's grace to tell me, you need to stop, chill out. Like, first of all, what you're trying to speak on is something you haven't lived out with authenticity wholeheartedly for yourself. Like, there's still heart issues that you're not yielding to me. And so here we go, let's go ahead and run that. And so, but in real life, not over the recording. And so I was journaling and still just honoring God with that process. And so I was intending to share that experience with you, right? And so here we go yet again, where I'm coming across, that was already planned. I've already recorded stuff, y'all. I'm like ready to go with that. But God won't let me release it, at least not right now. And it's so good, in my opinion, of course. But God gave me a dream last night, and I can't shake it. So I feel like I'm going to go out in faith and just jump on this. And I'm going to go ahead and invite the Holy Spirit right now in my space where I don't have any kids, no husbands around. I have nothing to do, literally. I'm going to honor God with my time and speak on what's on what I feel God's heart for you, the listener, and for me. And so in my dream, there were these two guys who, me and a girlfriend of mine who also is in real life, you know, a follower of God. And so she operates in the prophetic, where God will give her words of knowledge on people's situations that won't, you know, unless supernaturally inspired, you wouldn't have known otherwise. And so that's where she kind of works in real life. And so we were just chilling and chopping it up, and then these dudes across from us were just speaking obscenities, and it was really odd to us because they also professed to be followers of God, and we were just kind of like dumbfounded by their language and kind of spoke to it and was just like, yo, like, what's up with y'all talking like this, like, chill out. And they were kind of taken aback by being confronted about it. And so we just had this dialogue about, like, if you're a person of God, why are you speaking like this, you know? And so she started kind of going in theologically speaking about, like, all of that, and all the while I was literally hearing the Holy Spirit download to me what I needed to share with those gentlemen. And before I share it with you, it would be very helpful if you're visual like me to grab a cup. It doesn't matter what type of glass or cup, just anything, or at least visualize it. And when you look at that cup or glass, what is the purpose of it? The purpose of any glass or cup or container is to be poured into. For something to be poured into it. And it's not just for something to be poured into it. Most of the time, it's for it to pour right back out. Mostly for consumption, or to be used somehow else. But it holds something, okay? To be released out to the benefit of whoever's using it. And so in the same way, in my dream, God told me to tell those gentlemen that our bodies are vessels, just like this cup is a vessel. And what comes out of it is based on what gets poured into it. And what gets poured into it can either be something that's divinely inspired, like God, and or it could be something that's polluted and toxic, like the things of the world. And whatever you find yourself full off of, that is what will come up out of you. And so I was trying to bring home the point that what you say out your mouth is an indicator of your spiritual condition, period, and your true relationship with God. Now, I need to preface this by saying that people can talk a good game, but not really live it out. And for me, for the past like couple of years now, as I've been trying to push out this podcast, as I've been trying to write a book, as I've been trying to do something in a creative space, which isn't a strength of mine, to be honest. I do talk a lot, but more face to face with people who are in my circle compared to people who I don't know or who never meet. I just feel like it's more of a heart-to-heart matter because I get to know them, they get to know me. Whereas I may not know you, whoever's listening out there. But one thing I do know for sure is you came across this, and I hope you stay a while, because what you'll get from me through the rest of this podcast series is an opportunity for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, an opportunity for you to be filled with the things of God. Now, I'm not claiming to be God, obviously. I'm not claiming to be the one that pours that into you, but what I can pour into you is the Word of God. What I can pour into you are nuggets that I got satisfied off of, that I learned along my path, along my journey in life and my growth with God. And this has been a lifetime thing, y'all. Like, I am no expert, I'm no pastor, so I really don't want to take the place of those people, and I don't want to take the place of God in your life. Like, at the end of the day, we all have our own relationship that we have to account for at the end of it all. But God created you, and He created you for the purposes of getting to know Him. So I kind of exhort you to and encourage you to be connected with the one and true living God, who calls Himself the living waters. And He promises that if you take just one sip of Him, if you consume Him, and I know that sounds kind of borderline, like, you know, what are those people called when you like eat up other people and like that's just nasty? But cannibals, like, I'm not talking literal, right? I'm talking from a spiritual perspective. Being connected with God is your life source, your true life source, to live the life that you've always been created to live. And again, you can be separated from Him and still wake up and breathe and go about your business, right? You can still have fun and find goodness in life and people. But to really live the abundant life that God has for you, life and life everlasting life, that's something that you can only get with God himself. And so the first episode that I want to talk about, the topic is, what are you sipping on? What's in your cup? Because when we in our culture talk about, oh, you thirsty, we usually look at that from a negative connotation and we think, oh, someone just is hungry and just thirsty for attention. And usually it's from a from a sexual point of view. And so we kind of like downplay the idea of being thirsty. But in reality, look around us, guys. Like, the whole world literally is encompassed with mostly water. I think I did like a nerdy Google search and the surface is made up of at least 71% of water. That should tell you something. When you look at our bodies and how we're made, thanks to Google, we're made up of 60% of water, give or take. Again, more than half of us are made up of water from the inside. And so how much more do you think God is trying to scream at us the idea that being connected and consuming true living water is the necessity for us to live life? It's no surprise. It quite literally is the means by which we survive. And so I want to kind of look at a few scriptures because I want to share what God has to say about thirst and about water. And so I'm going to go to the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:2. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. So pause. This gives me, like, I have kids and the youngest of mine is 2. The oldest is like 17. And so I remember the days when they were just babies, and that's what they, all they would do is cry, drink milk, sleep. That's all they did. Okay. And their cry was pretty much, I'm hungry. Right. And it happened often. And once you got that schedule down packed, you wouldn't even wait for the cry. You would just connect them with their source. And so here I feel like God is saying, be like newborn babies, where you crave, like you need God. Okay. And so in order to grow the way we need to grow, we need God's word, you know, and that can be found in the Bible, but he's not limited to just that. He speaks to us in nature. Now, it's also corroborated in Romans that he says, look around you. The things of God speak to his glory, to his existence, you know, and when you study the things of this world, like nature specifically, you, and even just relationships and just how things operate, you will get a glimpse of what God is like and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's really crazy. Nothing else can satisfy it once you find those nuggets and God gives you those breakdowns. And so similarly, I feel like when you look at how to quench our spiritual thirst, you have to kind of look at the right source. And so the real question isn't, are you thirsty? Because we all are. Again, we've addressed the fact that it's a very literal thing that we need in the natural world. But what we see in the natural is usually an indicator of what's going on in the spiritual, to what is naked to our, what is invisible to our naked eye. And so how are you quenching your spiritual thirst should be really the next question you should ask yourself. How am I doing this? Am I using the things that the world gives, like alcohol, weed? Am I using sex, pleasure, money? Am I using relationships or status? What am I using in my life to give me value, to give me the nourishment in my day, to give me what I need to get by in life? Like, what am I feeding off of? And take it from me, especially if you're from my past life and you may have known me to be like the teenage mom in high school. Maybe you knew me to be the salacious 20-year-old living life as the biggest HOE on the block. Maybe you knew me as one of the people that I partied with. I used to smoke and drink like all the time. maybe you knew me as the hothead, like someone who had control issues and in the relationships that I had. But today, thanks be to God, having the experience of drinking from the cup of the living water to which Jesus calls himself, I am now cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. There are still issues that need to be worked out in my heart. But when you look at the different phases of my life and the struggles that I had, I can only give credit to Jesus Christ for getting me through and saving me and healing me from a lot of those things. He gave me a new name. He gave me a new spirit. And the things of my past are now dead. And so I really just want the opportunity to serve you up an opportunity to try, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Once you do, you will always be satisfied, which brings me to John 4:14. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. So again, the whole purpose of a fountain of water can be seen in John 4, where it's for others to enjoy, others to be refreshed by it. And so the woman at the well meeting Jesus Christ, who reveals himself for the first time publicly as the Messiah. And it's really special that he chose to speak to this woman, because historically speaking, she was a Samaritan and Jesus is a Jew. And so socially, they just didn't mix groups. And so for him to even be talking to her, like, was a big deal already. And so for him to cross that barrier and then ask for a cup of drink, because I mean, he did journey quite a long way and she was already there. She already had the things that she needed. And it's quite natural in his flesh to address her with, "Hey, can I get something to drink?" And her response is like addressing the social issues. Jesus will go past those social cultural boundaries that we put up for ourselves and address the very heart matter that's at hand. Eventually, as you continue to read in John 4 with the conversation between this woman at the well and Jesus, he's like, "Ma'am, if you knew who I was, though, like, you'd be asking me for a drink of water." And she's like, "How? Like, you don't even have anything to draw water with. Like, how is that going to happen?" And he's like, "I will give you something that you'll never be able to be, like, you'll never come back to this world again." And she's like, "Hold up, I want some of that." And so it's quite natural for her to, you know, question, like, how is this going to happen? And a lot of times we do the same thing. Like, "God, you say I can access this joy, this peace everlasting, that I'm going to be prosperous, that this and that." But, like, didn't allow that to be an issue for him. He addressed the heart matter. He asked her to go get your husband and I will give you access to this water. And so the problem was, then she confessed. She admitted where she really was, which is, "That won't my husband." And he was like, "You're right." And so you had five. And he gave her whole life rundown. And so what I love about this is that when you get an opportunity to encounter Jesus for real, he will share with you not just your life, but like what the root of what it is that's prohibiting you from accessing him fully. And that was her problem, was that she was so stuck on the social cultural norms of the day, which we do. We usually get caught up with the superficial things that we see, like with our sense or experience with our senses. And then once we get past that, God says, "Okay, cool. You can come near. Yes. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And in doing so, let me show you yourself, your heart, and where you stand." And in that regard, it kind of leads us to confess and to repent. And in doing so, that opens the door for us to accept him into our life as he is, which is Savior. And then beyond that, friend. Then after that, teacher. And then, you know, he continues to reveal himself more and more as you continue to journey with him in life. What we want to be careful of is thinking that we're good without him. Because as we take a look at the natural, heated situations can draw out the water inside of a thing. Don't believe me? Next time you go outside and it's like 100 degrees, look at your body. What is it doing? Sweating. Now, for some people who have adapted to certain heated situations, maybe the heat needs to turn up a notch in your life, where you do start to feel a little spicy, and then all of a sudden you see water dripping. And so the way that God can engage us with himself sometimes means that he has to turn up the heat in our life to draw the water out of us. So what we want to do is prepare, right? Because we know life is not always sunshine and roses. Sometimes rain comes. Sometimes heated situations come. And when they do, we need to be in a place that we can spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically handle that. And so what I want us to be careful of is, again, thinking that we're good without them. There was a story that I want to tell you about, happened in real life. Went to the sauna, and you go to the sauna to sweat. You do that on purpose. And it's so funny because I feel like this could have been written in the Bible. We just read about the woman at the well. Well, this was an experience of me meeting a woman at the sauna. And this is a place where someone just divulged her whole entire life to me without me like probing. And one of the problem areas that she had was being able to surrender her heart to God, being able to address the needs that she really had to satisfy this thirst that she wasn't sure how to explain, to give language to, although she had familiarity with it, although she had a background in quote unquote Christianity. What she didn't have was an encounter with Jesus herself. Instead, she had an encounter with imposters, possibly. She had encounters with people that may or may not have been in their right position in their relationship with God, which unfortunately caused her that misfortune not there, having that relationship with God. Which many of us have experienced, I'm sure, or some type of negative perspective of churches, which is, I'm not trying to enter in somewhere where it's hypocritical or they take advantage of me, which is fair game, that it does exist. But at the same time, what I guess really blew me about this conversation was that that's the heart condition of most people, that they don't want to draw near to God because of what other people, you know, put them through, or people who claim to be God, what they represent. And you have to remember that God warned us about the wolves in sheep clothing, that there will be people who are out here trying to pose and make it seem as if they're down for the cause, when in reality they're just ravenous, greedy people who really want to manipulate you and take advantage of you, take your money, or, you know, may use it for other ways to please themselves. And so we have to be so connected with God for ourselves. We have to know the word of God for ourselves, that we're not manipulated into that deceptive thinking. And so that was the first thing that, like, it hurt me. Like, we do that in any other scenario. We don't allow ourselves to stop going to the hospital just because there's a doctor we don't like. We find just a new doctor. We don't just stop driving cars just because we don't like the salesman that was trying to take advantage of us. We find someone else to purchase a car from. And so similarly, we just need to kind of get away from that idea that, oh, I've been hurt by someone in church, or I heard about, right? Or this pastor took advantage and is always asking for money and, you know, whatever. Like, okay, bump all that. Why don't y'all find a place, ask God to lead you to a place where you can learn and grow, right? And I know the next excuse, if you will, is that people try to claim that, oh, well, no one's perfect. So they try to accept those like wicked conditions in certain churches. But you really do need to find a place that feeds you the word of God, that gives you the spiritual milk. And how will you know? You have to test the spirits. And in order to test the spirits, you have to be discerning. To be discerning, you basically have to be a spiritually mature Christian, which doesn't come overnight, and it doesn't come without asking God for it. And so to get to that point, you need to be full off of spiritual milk and ready for something more solid. And so that kind of brings me to the next and last verse, which is in Revelations, where God talks about mixing drinks. Okay, and so for all of my bartenders out there, ex-bartenders, we all fancy ourselves a good cocktail, a good margarita, a good mixed drink beverage, you know. Most of the times we don't just take shots. You know, if we do, we down it with a chaser, right? And so let's see what God says about mixed drinks. So I'm not gonna lie, I don't remember exactly where, so I'm gonna use Google real quick. My best friend, when it comes to scriptures I'm familiar with but don't have quite memorized. So Revelations 3, 15 through 18 says, I know your deeds. And he's speaking to a type of church, a type of people, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And one version says vomit. And so God is speaking to how he feels about mixed drinks. Okay, so you're either going to be for him 100% or you're not 100%. There is no teetering the fence with him. And I think the condition of where our heart is that we're mixed, y'all. We feel like it's okay to claim that I know Jesus, say my I love you, give him that credit where it's due, but then our lifestyle, the way we worship. And by the way, worship is not just a song that you sing or a prayer or a discipline that you practice by going to church or what have you. Like, worship is the way you live, the way you think, the way you talk, the way you treat yourself and others, the way you yield to God's direction in your life, right? Like the way you fight, the way you love. It's like all of those things, y'all. And so what God is saying is, if you're going to claim to be about me, I need you to be about it for real. Do you even know me? Spend time with me. Now, I get that there might be opposition out there listening to this, like, oh, I don't got time for all that. I got to work. I got kids. I got this. But we make time for everything else. We make time to go to parties. We make time for Netflix. We make time, you know, to go out and, you know, socialize and drink drinks. Why can't God, the one who created you, you didn't give yourself your own breath. You didn't ask to be here in this world, but yet you are. Give him a few moments, just like you would anybody else who now is your husband or who's your best friend or who is whatever to you. You started somewhere. And so, yeah, start with just a few minutes a day, but for real, like to really cry out to God, give him your heart, your questions, your fears, right? Pray for not just yourself, but others who you are concerned about. And then also be willing to listen, be poured back into, y'all, be poured back into. Once you pour your heart out, allow God to pour his heart into you, right? Since we're rifting off the idea of being poured into. And the way you do that, again, I can't emphasize enough, is reading the word, getting to know him. That is his love letter to us. And then to help, okay, I'm not being paid for any of this promotional advertisements here, but grab a commentary, a Bible commentary, and they are free online, or you can go to the library. And if you really got the money, purchase one. It's worth your time and it's worth your money. You know, get a concordance, which is like a Bible dictionary, because the word was written in ancient times in another language, originally in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. We, if you're listening, mostly are Americans or have English speaking tendencies, because I don't speak no other language for that. But at the end of the day, we're not going to get all of the social cues and cultural norms that existed from then. I mean, there are some things that still exist because there's nothing new under the sun. But for us to really get the impact of what God is trying to say and the beauty of the messages he's left us is to connect what the author had intended. And so ultimately, though, regardless of who wrote it, because there are different authors attributed to writing the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one who instructs us. He's the one that's speaking through them, that inspired a word that it remained consistent over time. And then again, when you look at nature, I can't emphasize enough, if you look at Romans chapter 1 and skimming on down to verse 18, you look at how, even outside of the Bible, y'all, when you look around you, you know there's a God that exists, okay? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth. So these are people that know God, have experienced God, who have encountered him, but they're suppressing it because they're just so filthy off of the things of the world. So they suppress the truth and unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what is made. so that we are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind or birds or animals, of crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them up to vile impurity, to the lust of their hearts, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So I feel like this is a good time to go ahead and end and pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for the listeners. Even if it's just family and friends to begin, I'm here for the one, just like you were here for just me. And I pray, God, that my voice would be used to glorify your name and that you will draw all men unto yourself through this podcast, that you will restore relationships, that you will bless hearts, that you will answer questions, that you will give us the identity that we've longed to search for, but misplaced in wrong things. And so we just honor you for who you are by even just giving you the time, giving you our resources. And we ask you to teach us all things. We ask you that you make sense of things that we do read about. And we just thank you for who you are. You are the true and living waters that provide us eternal life, life here on earth and life more abundantly thereafter. And even on earth, you promise us to live an abundant life. And so we thank you. Show us how we can pour back into others. For those of us who have been connected with you but are overflowing, it's not for us to just consume and be good with ourselves, but it's for us to share the love and life of Christ so that others can be transformed. Thank you for listening, and tune into the next episode.